The following sermon was preached at Selma Community Church, a church in Jefferson City that exists to build communities of transformed disciples who live for the glory of God by connecting people to Christ and community. For more information, you can find it at www.somajc.org.
Peace be with you. Very, very good. Hey, I am Pastor John, if you don't know who I am. This is Soma. Welcome. And I want to pray with you as we get started for the day. I want you guys to pray for me as I pray for you. Also pray for our campers that are heading down to KAA right now, because we had a whole group of them that are heading that way. We want to make sure they have a safe travel as they travel about 3.5 hours to southwest Missouri. So why don't you pray with me? Bow your heads. Jesus, thank you so much for today. Thank you for this day we've never seen before. Thank you for this time together as a family. Father God, I just ask that you help us to focus in on the things that you would want us to do and know as believers. Help us to continue to praise you and uplift your name. We thank you for the success that happened this week and the campers coming and the people coming and hearing about you through Vacation Bible School. We ask that we not sit and rest on that, but we are able to just relax and think more about you. Help our lives to be fully focused on you and you alone. We praise you and we thank you. In your name we pray. Amen. So today's a little bit different, obviously. Usually we do what we call our family time, where we would break up and meet and greet each other and do that. And if you notice, even we've even slowed down the number of songs we do in a service. And so the reason we want to do that is a little bit different. We every fifth Sunday, we try to give our SOS, and our SOS, my goodness, our Soma kid workers a break. And this is twofold this Sunday. Why? Number one, we had a whole week of VBS. They were here, Thursday, Friday, and then we started Sunday. We're all day Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. And then we came back on Saturday to clean up again. And I mean, we've been here all week. And to ask, just one more ask for you to volunteer and take care of a bunch of kids is a hard thing. Not only that, but they've been teaching their hearts out and praying and uplifting, and that's just a break for those that volunteer with our Soma kids. But also, it's also a great pattern for us as Christ followers to be able to have our children with us as we worship. If you notice, what we do here is we actually have our children alongside us as we praise and worship, and then we send them downstairs to get age-appropriate teaching downstairs in our Soma kids. That's what we usually do. And so this week, we are going to keep it age-appropriate, as we always do. But we want to have them worship next to you. And so we want them to be looking in the Bible with you. If there's a Bible next to you, we want you to grab it, turn to Matthew chapter 8. That's where we're going to be today. We want you to show your children what Matthew chapter 8 is, where that is in your Bible. If you don't know, that is page 813 in that hardback pew Bible you just picked up. By the way, if you do not have a Bible or did not bring one with you, the one you just picked up is yours. Keep it. It's yours. It's our present to you. But 8:13 in that hardback pew Bible is Matthew chapter 8. That's where we're going to be today. And I want to encourage you to find that and share that with your children. Show them what it's like to worship God. Because listen, and this is something I've learned in my life that's really, really true. And Jake says I'm really full of pithy little quotes. So here's another one. Tweet it out if you want. And it's really, really, you can, you ready for it? Okay. I was just making sure Jake was ready for it. You can teach what you know. Replicate who you are. You can teach what you know, but you replicate who you are. And listen, for the parents in the room, or for the caretakers in the room, or if you're an auntie or whatever you are, if you have a kid next to you that looks up to you, you can teach them all you want. You probably, if you grew up in my household, you would hear this a lot. Do what I say, not what as I do, boy. That was told to me all the time. Do what I say, not as I do. But what happens is you replicate who you are. And so what happens is if you say, do what I say, not as I do, eventually the kid is watching your actions and not necessarily listening to your words. And so this is just a way for us to begin to show them how we worship God. The question that I would begin to ask the parents, and this is just a fun question for you to ponder on as we kind of go throughout the Sunday, is how many times do your kids catch you praying? How many times do your kids catch you reading the Bible? How many times do your kids have the opportunity to pray with you or read God's word with you? Not that you need to be extra, extra holy or anything like that, but I want them to be able to see in you the attributes you want to see in them. And so today we're just going to take the time to do that. Not only that, but we're a small church anyway, so it gives us an opportunity to kind of take a break. Now, here's a disclaimer real quick for you. I know some of you guys are kind of freaked out and going, but my kid's going to cry. Fine. I have three kids. I'm okay with kids crying. If your cell phone goes off, it might have an issue, but you know, because you could turn a cell phone off. You can't turn a kid off, as much as we'd like to try. Okay? So don't worry about a kid crying if they're fussing. Kids will be kids, right? That's what they do. But get a cell phone, put it on silent. All right. Grab your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 8. Again, 8:13 in your pew Bible. We're going to start in verse 18. And this is a weird one today, just so you know. This is a weird one. So I'm going to read it for you just so you can hear it. It says this. Now, when Jesus saw a crowd around him, he gave orders to go over to the other side. And a scribe came up to him and said, "Teacher, I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes and birds have of the air have their nest, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." Another disciple said to him, "Lord, let me first go up and bury my father." And Jesus said to him, "Follow me and leave the dead to bury their own dead." Yeah, so I was happy when I read that verse and said, yes, we Family Sunday. All the kids are in here. We can talk about dads burying their own dead. But here's the thing I want you to hear, okay? Here's the thing I really want you to hear. And we're going to put this up on the screen. It's a soul tattoo. And really, it's the only point I'm going to stress for today. And this is what Jesus is trying to say. As a matter of fact, if you miss anything else that I say today, I want you to hear this one sentence. Nothing should ever come between you and following Jesus. Matter of fact, kids, since you're in here and the adults are half asleep, I want you guys to say that really loud with me. Everybody, on the count of three. One, two, three. Nothing should ever come between you and following Jesus. Nothing. Everybody say nothing.
Nothing.
Say it like you mean it. Say nothing.
Nothing.
Nothing should ever come between you and following Jesus. And this is all he's trying to say in this passage. When he walks through this passage, listen, he just got done preaching the best sermon ever. I've preached a lot of sermons, none as good as the one he just got done preaching. And he's walking around, there's thousands of people following him. Thousands of people going, and he actually looks across a lake and says, "Let's go over there so I can get away from people." I understand that. You ever been around a large group of people and you're just like, "I just need to get away." That's him. He's like, "I need to get away. I'm going to go across this lake with my friends." So he gets in a boat. He goes across the lake. But before he gets there, these guys, these scribes, these priests come up to him and go, "Hey, let me ask you a question. Can I follow you?" And Jesus says some kind of weird things. "Foxes have holes. Birds of the air have nests. But I have nowhere to lay my head." Which is kind of a warning to him, saying, "Listen, I don't exactly have a home. I'm kind of homeless. And so to follow me, you may not have a place to lay your head. Are you okay with that?" And we don't know the answer to that guy, but it's a question that we have to ask ourselves is maybe you may not be okay with not having some of the things that the world promises you, but Jesus never does. Jesus says, "Listen, I'm not going to promise you all this good stuff. I'm just going to promise you joy, everlasting joy by following me." And then he goes on, and the scribe comes in and goes, "Can I go bury my father?" Now, a lot of you guys know my mom passed on about a year and a half ago. And what I've learned in that time, for me especially, is that a lot of the times when you do the funeral service and those things, that's more for you than it is for, well, it's all completely for you and not for them. They can't hear you. And my mom actually said that, so don't think I'm being morbid. But like, it's all for you. And he says, "Hey, listen, that's for you. That's not for me. So let them bury their dead." It's actually what I call a hyperbole or a real big exaggeration. Jesus, if you guys remember, been around for a little bit, he said in Matthew 5, he says, "If your eye gives you trouble, pluck it out." Now, anybody in here have one eye because they were angry at their sin? Right. I think everybody has two eyes. Some of us, like myself, I have contacts, so I have four technically. But you know, yeah, nobody plucked a eye out. Or if you're tempted with lust or stealing, he says, "Cut off your hand." Anybody lose a hand lately? I know a guy who thought about it one time, but like nobody actually does that. Why? He's exaggerating. He's saying, take extreme measures to make sure that you don't fall into sin. And Jesus says here again, he says, this is not a gross picture of anything. He's not being literal. He's trying to water down to get you to understand. Listen, this is different. This is anything that would get between you and following me, I want you to let go of. So let's ask that question. What gets between you and following Jesus? In your life, what gets between you and following Jesus? Is it school? Work? Maybe it's your friends. What draws you away? TV? Movies? Maybe something you listen to or watch? What draws you away? What catches your attention that Jesus wants from you? Jesus says, listen, I want to solve that problem. And so what he's saying to you and me is that we want to deal with the cause. Take whatever action is necessary so you don't stumble in this area. We don't want you to have indulgent patterns of sin in your life. We don't want you to keep going into sin. So let's go back to Matthew 8:22. This man came for a valid reason, right? Holding things off and saying, Jesus, listen, this is really, really valid. But Jesus responds, essentially, nothing should ever come between you and me. You following me, nothing. Jesus uses it to show him that not even death in your family should stop you from following him. There are so many times I talk to people and I run into people and they go, man, I used to do that Christianity thing until, and I'm always interested in what comes next, until my grandma passed, or until I got kicked out of school, or until I didn't do this, or until he didn't come through with me on that test I didn't study for, or until I didn't get that job, or until I couldn't make the NFL, or until. And Jesus says, nothing. Nothing. What would keep you from following Jesus? Is there something in your world that is so precious to you that if push comes to shove, if you lost that thing, you would stop following Jesus? Because if so, I would say that thing is a thing you worship and not Jesus. What is it? I mean, let's be real, parents. Maybe it's our kids. We lost a child. I've heard that one recently. Or maybe it's your spouse. Or maybe it's the lack of a spouse and you want a spouse. That's your idol. A husband or a wife. Good question. I like that. There's no partial commitment when it comes to following Jesus. There's no partial commitment when it follows Jesus. No matter what the circumstances, Jesus is the point of all of it. You're either committed to Christ or you're not. You either trust him or you don't. And when you do, you'll have a greater perspective on everyday affairs of life. You'll be prompted by what he asks of you. Listen, this passage doesn't speak of the lack of care for us. It doesn't go and go, you're not giving enough care to me. You're not giving enough care to me. You're not doing these things. Jesus is not saying don't honor those who have passed on. He's not saying that. Clearly, he's not saying that. What he is saying is he's emphasizing the absolute necessity of putting Christ first. Everybody say first. In my life. Jesus wants to be first in your life. Over everything. And I know you're probably thinking right now, but what about this one thing? What about this one thing? You probably have a list of things. And I would challenge you. And I had the same thing when I was thinking about this. I have lots of things in my life that I want to be first. But Jesus says he's first. Are you willing to put aside everything else and put him where he belongs? Now let's be real for a second. That's hard, isn't it? I mean, you're going to school and you're talking to your friends and they have all the cool things in the world and you want those things too. It's hard to put those aside to put Jesus first. If you go to work and somebody gets promoted over you and you deserve it, it's hard because you want that thing because you think that thing is going to give you a better life. Or maybe you look at somebody else's family and go, man, I wish I had that life because I don't have that life. Or maybe you look at somebody else's finances and go, man, I need something in my account. So there's so many things that we want to do in a life. I wish I had this or that or the third. We want so many things, but Jesus says, I am enough. Putting Christ first in your life is urgent. It's not just an option. It's what you need for your life. It has to be immediate. It has to be immediate. In everything you do, it has to be immediate. All my excuses are inadequate. They don't matter. All the excuses. And there's a difference between reasons and excuses. Reasons is I don't actually believe. An excuse is, well, what about this or what about that? So Jesus in this passage says, listen, you may not have a place to lay your head. Is that okay? Can you follow me in that? I would hope my answer would be yes. He even says, hey, you might have to leave your family. He goes on in Luke and says, you have to walk away from your family in order to follow me. And people go, oh my goodness, that's crazy. But he says, listen, you have to love me so much that everything else around you doesn't really matter. Do you live your life like that? You see, my hope in my prayer, especially for the little ones that are in this room, is this. That their commitment to Christ is much more than mine ever could be. That their commitment to Jesus Christ and following him and being radical after him is much more than I ever could be. I looked for a picture of this. I couldn't find one. But my wife and I had the opportunity to go to Phoenix, Arizona, which if you've ever been to Phoenix, Arizona, it's like standing right next to an open oven you've just opened. Okay, it's just hot for no reason. No humidity, just ha. You know, I felt like constantly I was behind the exhaust tailpipe of a SUV or something. Okay, it was just ridiculous. So we're walking around down there, and we go to this conference, and they have these youth that are 18, 19, 20 years old that are going, they're being commissioned. And they're walking into this place with thousands of people, and they're telling us where they're going. But some of them, they can't even show their faces. Because if they can tell you where they're going, or they can tell you their name, but they can't tell you both. And they're going into countries that don't love Jesus and that will put them out if they find out, or even worse, if they find out that you love Jesus in this country. And these kids are risking everything in their families to go overseas and do this. And my wife and I sat there, and she leaned over to me and said, one day, I bet you that'll be one of our kids. Now, I, being the pastor of the church, have been brave enough to be like, yes, and amen. But that was not my reaction. My reaction's like, ah, crud. I don't know if I don't want that to be true. But it may be. I wish that for all of you guys, that you guys are braver than I ever could be. Maybe it's not going overseas, it's starting a church or starting a ministry or blessing people or leveraging your whole life in ways that the adults in this room never could have thought of for Jesus. But the only way that's going to happen is if Jesus is first in your life. And that was clear for every single person on that stage that night. That was clear for every single person in that room that night, that Jesus was first. Listen, I see a lot of problems in this world. I think all the adults would agree. When we look at the news every day, or I call it what's bad, because that's all it tells you. It doesn't tell you anything good. It just tells you what's bad. And so when you look at what's bad every single day, then it tells you all the things. You know, China had a show of force with their military, and you know, there's a bomb that went off here and that. And if you're like me as a parent, even if you have grown children, you're going, I don't know if I want my children in this world. It's crazy out there. Everywhere you look, you just go, oh my goodness, this world is going crazy. But here's the thing. The only hope for this world is Jesus. The only hope for this world is Jesus. And the reason why this church is set where it is and is strategically looking towards this campus and towards Morro Heights Elementary is because we want to focus so much on the next generation that these little ones that are sitting here are the ones that changed this world for him. We do our work, but we set the groundwork for them to change the world in ways that we could have never thought of. What would it be? What would it be? What would it be if this was the last generation of people that had to leave Jefferson City to be radicalized for Jesus? What would it be if we actually had Christ followers coming out of Jefferson City in such a way that people go, oh, that's some Jeff City people. There's this place in Kansas City, it's kind of funny, their name is IHOP, and we all know IHOP as pancakes. Now you're all hungry? Welcome. Unless you had breakfast this morning. But, you know, and so when you think IHOP, you think International House of Pancakes. Except for when you go to Kansas City and you go, hey, do you know somebody from IHOP? And they'll go, oh, International House of Prayer. There's a whole place in Grandview. They've literally taken over like half of Grandview. Purchase strip malls, realty companies, all kinds of stuff. And you know what they've done? They've set up a prayer thing where people come from around the world and pray 24/7, 365. Literally, anytime you go into the church, any time of day, night, weekend, anytime, there's a prayer, praise and worship service going with a band going and somebody praying somewhere in there for the last decade. It's been going on. And these guys are intense. And when you walk around Kansas City, if you know anybody from Kansas City, they'll go, oh, I know an IHOPper. They're even called IHOPers. You know who they are. And literally they bring people. Listen, they love Jesus. They love Jesus so much so that it just falls out of them. They can't help it. You look at them and you just go, there's something different about you. You really love Jesus. You just know. You don't have to ask them. You just kind of know when you look at them. Like, they love Jesus. I would love to have, I don't, Soma-ers, is that what we call them? I don't know what they call them. Soma people. I don't know, whatever they would call us. I'm sure they'll coin a phrase. But we have kids just popping out of this place that are so in love with Jesus that people just go, oh, you're one of them. And it's not in a bad way. It's in a respect way in a lot of ways because they love Jesus. What would it look like for us to live a life to pour into people so much so that Jesus is the only thing that they follow? Because nothing should ever come between you and following Jesus. Putting Christ first is urgent. It's not only possible, but it's immediate in everything you do. And so I just want to challenge you with this. And some of you guys are going, oh, he's done already? I am. They're kids. We want to keep it short. I want you to hear this. Jesus has a simple challenge for you today. An extremely simple challenge for you. Follow him, follow the world. You have to make the choice. Nobody else can make that choice for you. And I know people would go, but my daddy's a deacon, or my grandma was a pastor back in the day, and I got, everybody's got somebody in the church that's related to something, but God doesn't have any grandchildren. He has children. You have to make the choice. You can't ride on the coattails of somebody else. I know your mama's the holiest thing you've ever met. You can't ride on her coattails to heaven. That's not the way it works. You have to make a decision to follow Jesus. And the thing that made me so happy is to hear that 23 kids indicated that they wanted to begin a relationship with Jesus Christ. And we get to follow up with those kids and knock on those doors and begin to invest and invite those families and pull them in and go, hey, guys, what do you want to know more about this Jesus guy? How can we help you understand more about it? I look forward to being able to knock on those doors and just go, hey, how you doing? But before we do that, I got to ask you, have you made that decision? Have you actually made the decision to follow Jesus in all aspects of your life? Have you said, I, in my life, am going to follow Jesus in every way, shape, and form, and I'm going to put him first? Because once you've made that decision, nothing should ever, ever come between you and following Jesus. Let me say that. Everybody say that with me. Nothing should ever come between you and following Jesus. Say it one more time. I want you to emphasize ever, because that's the point of that whole sentence. Nothing should come between you and following Jesus. Is that true? Is that true? No matter what goes on in your life, it must be true for you. And it must change your world. The day I made the decision, I'll tell you this and then I'll end. I was a young man. I was sitting in a coffee shop. I was an atheist. I grew up not believing that there was a God. And I was sitting in a coffee shop with a pastor, and he said, hey, John, I think you're one of us now. And I said, no, I'm not. And he said, no, I think you're one of us. You're not as angry as you used to be. You don't hate all the Christians. I really didn't like Christian people. He said, you like us now. And I was like, no, I don't. And he said, yes, you do. And we would fuss like that. And he goes, well, here's what I'm going to tell you. Why don't you go home and read the Bible more, and then you come back and tell me if you think you're one of us. And so I left, and I called him that day, and I said, hey, I don't like what you're telling me. I didn't really deny it. I said, I don't like what you're telling me. And he goes, why? And I said, because I never wanted to be one of you guys, because I know what it looks like out there. You kind of act like you love Jesus, but don't really live it. And so this pastor told me something I want to pass on to you kids. Let me give you your eyes real quick, kids. Very simple. The Christian life is this. Read the Bible. Do what it says. That's it. That day I became what I call a Christian barbarian. I don't really know all the, like, I know there's lots of churchy things we can do, but read the Bible. Do what it says. Keep it simple. There's just not a lot to it. It says very simply to do this, to love the poor, to take care of the needy, the orphans, the widows, to uplift the downtrodden, to do the things that Jesus would call us to do. Read the Bible, do what it says. Now, if you don't have a Bible, grab one of the ones next to you, take it home, and that's yours. If you want to learn how to read it, come talk to me or talk to your mom or dad or your auntie or your grandmama or whoever and begin to let them teach you how to read the Bible. But read the Bible and do what it says. That's what a Christ follower does. The best part about this is that it says something that I love. Every week it tells you this. It says, every time you guys gather together, break bread and do it in the remembrance of me. And so every week we actually come together and we try to break bread together. And listen, for the kids in this room, if you have not received Christ, number one, I would say talk to your mom, dad, or whoever you came with before you come up here and take this. Because this is just a piece of bread and some juice, but it symbolizes something very special for the adults in the room that love Jesus. It symbolizes to us the night that Jesus went to the cross and was broken for us. Because our sins are the thing that put him on the cross and the things that broke him. And it symbolizes the blood that was shed over him. And that shed blood is what covers us. So when God looks at us, the juice, yeah. Don't worry about the flavor. It's a symbol. That's a good question. I thank you for the question. The symbol of the juice is to remind us of the blood that covers us. Okay? And the blood that covers us is so that when God looks at us, he sees his son and not us. And so for those who love and follow Jesus, I'm going to ask you to come to break a piece of the bread and then dip it into the grape juice. I'm going to dip it into the juice. Remembering the broken body and shed blood. Now listen, if you're not a believer, I'm going to ask you to stay in your seats. Inside your Bible, there should be a little piece of paper that you could read, and you can even read with your kids to remember and answer the questions they may have. And if you have any other questions, come up here and talk to me. Just come down the center aisle, and as you go back to your seats, go out either side. Let's pray, and then we'll begin. Jesus, I thank you. I thank you so much for all you've done. I thank you for the kids that are in here that are able to hear your word. I thank you for the time that we're able to spend together as your family. Jesus, I thank you that as a Sunday together, we're able to uplift and praise you and be yours. And Father, I just ask, I beg that every child in here be absolutely radicalized for your glory and your purposes in our life. Help your kingdom to be built through us, the foundations be set through us, and then just accelerate it through every child that walks through these doors. Help us to set them forward for you. And Jesus, in the middle of all of this, may you be glorified, may you be personified, may you be exemplified in all of our lives. We pray this in your name. Amen. Kids, once again, I'm going to ask you to go to who you came with, and I'm asking you to talk to them on whether or not you should come up here. When you're ready, everyone, we want you to come.
Thank you for listening to the audio of Soma Community Church, located in Jefferson City. Feel free to make copies of this message to give to others, but please do not charge for the content or alter it in any way without express written permission. For more information about Soma, please visit us at www.somajc.org.